Good afternoon. Millennium Consulting is running a series of podcasts during which we will hear about the careers and backgrounds of some of the UK's most successful technology leaders. Today, we are talking with Craig Bassenthwaite, Financial Product Director at Dutch software vendor Unit 4. Good afternoon, Craig. You've enjoyed a successful career within the software industry over the past 25 years, starting initially with Coda and more recently with Unit 4. So what made you decide to pursue a career in the software industry?
Yeah, good afternoon, Sam. It's an interesting one, really, because I ended up in the software industry almost by default, having trained and studied more in the accounting and business line. I was working for what was then a Coda customer at the Walt Disney Company in London. And we went through the process of evaluating a new software system, well, systems, and ultimately ended up selecting Unit 4 Financials, as is today, then Coda. And I quite enjoyed the sort of new challenge and the variety of work as compared to the day-to-day or month-to-month routine of peer accounting. And so I thought I'd jump ship. I liked the idea. I enjoyed seeing what the consultants were doing when they came out on site to us as a customer. And I thought that would be a good challenge. And so I ended up moving into the software industry, initially as an application consultant, and things have gone, I don't know about full circle, but I've moved from consulting into pre-sales sales roles and now with the R&D and product management team back in a sort of head office global role rather than implementing on customer side.
What qualities do you think you have that have enabled you to be successful in the software industry?
I think if there's one quality that stands out, it's one of curiosity. And curiosity really drives the desire for improvements, the desire for whether it's a business process that you're trying to improve or whether it is the interaction with a user interface that you need to improve. And it's the constant desire to try and do something in a more efficient way or improve a process that ultimately will allow you to focus and prioritize on the things that you enjoy doing most from a work perspective, but also in life. I think the same thing applies.
Unit 4 was originally an on-premise software vendor, but has now embarked on an ambitious cloud-based strategy. How do you see this progressing over the coming years?
Well, okay, and this is very interesting, and it's, you know, it's not really just Unit 4. I mean, the market as a whole has moved from a on-premise, yes, not only primarily, but historically, you know, all software was on-premise. The inevitable shift to the cloud, which ultimately meant improved service from the vendor in the first instance, but also in terms of access from any device, anywhere, regardless of you know, the role that you were playing within your organization. The cloud supports that, and Unit 4 as a company have embraced that to ensure that we offer our customers the opportunity to progress and move into the cloud. And so our software at Unit 4 will fully support any cloud or any shift and move into the cloud.
What motivates you and gets you up in the morning?
Yes, that's an interesting one, Sam. I'd love to say it's all about work. I'm a firm believer of a work-life balance. So first and foremost, I would say is getting up to ensure I have a healthy and active start to the day. For me, it involves planning some form of exercise during the day. But having said that, you know, if I bring it back to work specifically, my motivation is to ensure that we have happy customers who ultimately will be references for us within their industries, within their community that they interact with, and ultimately allow us to retain our existing customers or for that matter, acquire new business as well.
Lovely, thank you. Now, is there anything you wish you had known when you first started your career in the software industry?
Do you know, I don't think so. As I said earlier on, I almost fell into this industry. It wasn't per se a choice. But having said that, you know, the one thing that I always say to people, so whether these are customers or internal resources engaging with customers, people need to understand that software is only as good as the team, the project team, both on the customer side, but also on the supplier side that implement the software. You know, there is a huge amount of choices that need to be made, and that's based on discussions that as a software vendor, as an implementer, you have with the customer. And if you get those discussions correct and you go through a good understanding of the requirements and the scope and ultimately have a good understanding of the software and configure the software to meet the customer's requirements, you know, that's something that I wish I knew earlier in my career in the software industry.
Thank you. What are the key skills and attributes you look for when hiring staff?
Okay. So this is an interesting one. Again, for me, I think it's one where staff, where prospective staff have an appetite to be investigative, if you like. It needs to be a situation where it's not coming on board for the travel. It's not coming on board for, you know, it might seem glorious on the outside for people coming into a software industry, but I think the key thing is, you know, the appetite to be able to work through and find solutions for problems, because you are certainly not positioning a ready-made, a turnkey packaged commodity. You need to be able to listen very well to customers, and you then need to be able to build up in your own mind a solution to solve the customer's requirements.
What do you think would be the key employment challenges faced by the next generation of employee?
Yeah, so I think when you look at the employment challenges as a whole, a lot of people who are hiring for employers, they are of an earlier generation and don't necessarily understand and appreciate what makes the next generation tick. You know, for sure, the next generation is going to be far more fluid. You know, if you look at my own personal situation, where I've been with one employer for 24 years now, you know, you won't see a lot of that moving forward. I mean, even in today's money, that's not that common. But the point I'm trying to make here is the next generation will a far more instant generation. They will want instant results, and they will think nothing of moving from employer A to employer B. So you're going to have to look after employees very well, and you're going to have to continuously reassess what their requirements are, what their needs are, and find ways to address those for them.
So what interests do you have outside of work, and how do you relax?
So there are a couple of interests. I'm definitely a very busybody outside of work. So relaxing doesn't really come into my social time. And by that I mean, you know, if I'm not doing something in the garden, from, you know, scrubbing a patio to cutting a hedge, I'm out on my bike or I'm out on the golf course. But invariably, my weekends, my leisure time is packed. Even going to the beach involves a run up and down the beach rather than sitting on the beach.
A busy man. Okay, so we've got the last question now. It's hard to avoid the subject of COVID-19, which is on everyone's minds at the moment. So what do you think will be its impact on the global economy over the next few years?
Clearly, it's a very worrying time. I mean, there's still a lot of uncertainties around COVID-19. You know, when are we going to come out of it? Who knows at this stage? Having said all of that, you know, I by nature am a very positive person. And as I keep telling my wife and the family, it's all going to be all right. But having said that, you know, what does that really mean? The economy is going to be impacted, there is no doubt in my mind, in a huge way by COVID-19. And yes, sadly, we many of us will lose loved ones, people close to us. But I think the biggest impact is actually going to be the economic impact, if not on corporations, on individuals, and the impact that that will have emotionally on families and how they react to that. I think that is the area that concerns me more than the physical loss. There is going to be a huge emotional loss, emotional impact, and certainly a lot of that will be caused by the impact on the economy.
That's it. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today.
You're welcome, Sam.